What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's the Zoo Yorker, and that means one thing and one thing only. I am your humble host, Big Zoo, a.k.a. Edar Zooman, coming to you here on April 23rd, 2024. That's a Tuesday for those of you keeping track of things like that. We appreciate you. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate you following, subscribing, leaving that 5-star rating that gets more eyes onto this podcast. And of course, if you got a problem with anything that I say, or you like something that I say, or you just want to say hi to someone, or you're just looking to just vent out a little something-something, at ZooBeard77 on the Twitter machine, holla at your boy. The same way that Garden crowd was hollering at those Knickerbockers last night. Ooh! I don't think it's hyperbolic. I don't think it is any type of a overstatement to say that was, in all honesty, one of the most exciting and one of the craziest wins that the Knicks have ever probably had in the postseason. I mean, that, in my lifetime, that's it. That might be the best win I've ever seen the Knicks had, period. That was just insanity. I mean, another game where Jalen Brunson is absolutely horrific. And now we really need to start having a dialogue about that, because he's affecting how this team is playing, because he is forcing shots. He's not passing the ball enough out of these double teams to guys who are wide open for three, or wide open under the basket, or in the case of a Hartenstein, wide open within 10 feet of the basket. He's forcing up shots, and they're becoming bad shots. And, I mean, honestly, I'm sitting there the last couple of minutes of the game, and Brunson is completely taking over, but he can't hit a shot to save his life. But yet he's just grabbing the ball, bringing it up, burning 20 seconds off the clock, and then trying to go make a move happen when there's nothing to be done at that point. I have no clue what's up with Jalen Brunson, but he better figure it out in the next couple of days here, because when they get down to Philly, he's not going to be able to get away with things like this. And he's not going to be able to get away with things like this because when you're down 5 points with less than 30 seconds left, less than 20 seconds left, I guess, when everything actually went down, but you got less than 30, and Brunson finally hits a three. Gets a little luck at a bounce, but you know what? When you were as unlucky as he was all night in terms of getting that bounce, you deserve one. And I think as Knicks fans, we deserved one after watching Jalen brick so many. But he drills that three. And then the most insane sequence that I've ever seen in a New York Knicks basketball game occurs when I'm not even sure what Kyle Lowry was doing throwing this ball into Tyrese Maxey. I'm not sure what Tyrese Maxey was doing. I don't know if he had some like popcorn during the timeout right before. But that ball was slippery for my man Max. He never had control of it. That's the reason why Nurse wasn't able to call the timeout. That's the reason why Nurse wasn't pissed off that he didn't get the timeout, if you watched the video back. So if he's complaining or anything, I didn't get a chance to hear his full post game. So I don't know if he was, bitching and moaning about this. But if he was, he shouldn't be, because he knows exactly why he didn't get that call. There was no control of the ball by Maxey. It was under him, it was rolling around, and as soon as he grabbed it, Josh Hart took it right out of his hands. And when Josh Hart takes that thing out of his hands, DiVincenzo launching, miss, Hartenstein, offensive rebound, getting hacked. He passes it out to Ananobi, who just seamlessly gets it to DiVincenzo for a three. Bang, Knicks up by one. Absolutely incredible. I mean, they end up going on to win 104-101. That was it. That was every single thing that you ask for as a fan. And We spoke about Jalen Brunson and his struggles. Well, I want to speak about the rest of this team and what they have been able to do to pick Jalen up, because how can you not love this version of the New York Knicks? How can you not love them? All they do is pour it all out. All they do is leave every ounce of what they got on the court night in and night out, and they did that throughout the regular season. And I told y'all, believe what your eyes are telling you with this team. And now, when I said that, I didn't expect Jalen Brunson to be absolutely horrific through the first two games of the playoffs. But when I said that, I knew that things like this were possible. I know that guys can step up and do extraordinary things, because that's what they've done all season long. Deuce McBride has stepped up when they make trades, when they need him to play 40 minutes a night. And you know what he does then? He scores. He produces. He plays exceptional defense. Last night, it was all about DiVincenzo, and it was all about Hart. And Josh Hart saved that game for the Knicks in the first half, because if he's not playing as well as he did in that first half, drilling threes, pulling up for threes, which was insane to watch, and hitting his free throws, I mean, this team is out of it. If he doesn't score 19 in the first half, the Knicks are out of this game, and they probably never come back and win. So, cheers to Josh Hart once again being an absolute stud out on that court for the Knicks in a game where Jalen Brunson is essentially absent. And I know Brunson, he ends up with 24 points, but when you got a guy like Jalen Brunson, who is out here shooting the ball at a rate of 8 for 29, 1 of 6 from 3, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable for a guy like him. And I know they're hounding him. Kelly Oubre is all over him. But he needs to cook guys like Nick Batum. There's no excuse for getting shut down by Nick Batum when you are Jalen Brunson. Zero. Nick Batum ain't like that. Nick Batum should not be able to be in front of you for all of this stuff. I mean, you've been dogging guys all year. There is no reason why Nick Batum is able to shut down Jalen Brunson. I'm really shocked at the way that Jalen has played throughout this series. He's let them get in his head, I think. He's not himself. And it's really starting to take a toll on this team. I mean, he had 6 assists last night, yes. But he needs to be looking to pass more. He needs to have his eyes wide open, and he needs to be throwing that thing around. Because when you get to Philly, you're not going to be able to do what you did at the Garden. You're probably not going to get the same type of calls, although Jalen can't get a call to save his life anyway, but that's only going to be amplified in the Wells Fargo Center come Thursday night and Sunday afternoon. It's not going to get any better for this team, but they're 2-0. They're leading this series 2-0. They've done everything that they have to do to win these games when their superstar point guard is completely inept. This is the Knicks team that you can believe in, because any other Knicks team in the past would have failed. They would have died in those first two games of this series. Just like against Atlanta a couple years ago. When Julius Randle wasn't able to get things going, what happened to that team? They withered, and they ultimately lost that series in 5 games at home, which was, you know, a killer for everything that season and made us all have to sit back and take a different look at Julius Randle. Now, Jalen Brunson is going to get bailed out here by his teammates in the first two games, but Jalen Brunson needs to start stepping up. Jalen Brunson needs to start making sure that he reminds people who the hell he is. Otherwise, we're going to have the same conversation that we had for Julius Randle about Jalen Brunson. And I don't think anybody was ready for that, not only when we came into the playoffs, but at any point this year. I don't think anybody throughout the league thought that this was going to be something that could happen, where Jalen Brunson essentially becomes unplayable at points in games. But here we are. And there's only one thing that you can do, and that's Jalen Brunson, step your ass up. Because right now, everybody else is bailing you out. And I've already went through the cavalcade of players in this game. But Josh Hart, unbelievable. And Dante DiVincenzo, at the end of that game last night, it's the most amazing play that a Knick has made probably in 30 years. It is probably the most amazing play. Nah, I'll take that back. It's probably the most amazing play and the most meaningful play to this franchise since Allen Houston hit that layup against the Heat. And that's, around 25 years ago? So, that was a magic moment at the Garden last night. I haven't been able to stop watching it over and over on replay. But this team, they need Jalen Brunson if they're going to want to do anything going forward in this playoff series. This has been a fun first two games at the Garden. They look really good, the team as a whole. But if they want to go far in the playoffs, if they want to win this series, potentially, I mean, who knows what this looks like when you go to Philly. I have a thought, but we'll save that until Thursday. But if Jalen Brunson is not playing well, if Jalen Brunson is playing like this, where he is shooting less than 30% and close to 25% every single night out, I mean, it's going to be impossible for this Knick team to overcome that and do anything of substance going forward in this playoffs. But that was special. That was something special last night. That is one that you will remember if you watched it live for the rest of your life. If you were in attendance, that's one you're going to tell people about for the rest of your life. That's something that typically happens to us. We don't typically do that to teams. So it was nice to see that. It was nice to live it. It was amazing to live it. I'm not going to downplay it and act like it wasn't. But at the end of the day, it's just one game. And they're up 2-0 in this series. In order to get it done, they need two more wins. And it'll be really, really nice to come back to the Garden for Game 5 with a chance to clinch it. So you got to take one in Philly. And in order to do that, Jalen Brunson needs to step up. And I'm going to keep saying that, and I'm going to keep saying it until Jalen Brunson finally shows up in this series and has a respectable game for this Knicks team. But for right now, Knicks fans, enjoy it. Live it up. This is a great moment. That was a great game, and it was a classic. So today, pump your chest out, feel yourself a little bit, let everybody know whose house this is. Knicks house! About last night. Oh, last night, what a beautiful, beautiful thing. Oh, from the Knicks to my dinner, which was a nice little penne a la vodka with chicken in there. And I love myself some chicken, as I always let you know. Let's get this chicken. And the Yankees did not handle that chicken yesterday. And this was not last night, so it's not really about last night, but about yesterday afternoon, I suppose, for the Yankees. And they had their second game of this homestand, which was 0-0, heading into the ninth or later. And they end up losing by more than one run. And it's maddening. It's actually pathetic. And it's not on the bullpen. It's on the lineup. This lineup should never be getting shut out for the New York Yankees. Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Volpe, Gleyber Torres, Giancarlo Stanton. There are too many guys. Rizzo. There are too many guys who are professionals in that lineup. And I don't care if Stanton is a guy who strikes out a ton. I don't care if Judge has these terrible spells. They cannot all happen in the same game multiple times in the first month of the season. The Yankees have been shut out 4 times, and this is the first time in their franchise history they've been shut out 4 times this early in the season. That says something about a team that is believed to be incredibly offensively talented. And I'm somebody who agrees with that statement. I'm somebody who believes in that statement. I'm somebody who believes in the Yankees, even right at this moment, where they're playing arguably awful baseball. And it's really not too arguable because they're just playing awful baseball. If their pitching wasn't so damn good right now, they would be atrocious. But they're getting bailed out, and the offense is getting time to find their feet. But the offense ain't doing anything to find their feet. Aaron Judge looks completely lost. And honestly, if Aaron Judge is not going to find his footing, this offense is never going to find themselves. This offense is never going to truly get going. And this team, for all intents and purposes, their season is going to be in perils going forward. I don't see that happening. I don't believe that Aaron Judge is going to be this guy for the entire season. But you know what? When he's showing you something like this for this long, and he looks the way he does, he looks hurt, he looks broken down a little bit. If we find out that Aaron Judge has been hurt this entire time and the Yankees did not do the proper things in order to make sure that he was ready not only for this season, but to play once this season got started, they're going to hear it. They are going to get blasted, and rightfully so. But for right now, it's on Aaron Judge, and it's on these players. And they need to start stepping up, and they need to start playing like actual professionals, and not like this garbage that they've been putting out there the past couple of seasons. This lineup has changed too much to continue to have those same frustrating failures. Enough is enough. It's time to start playing baseball. Like the Mets did out in San Francisco last night. And now this one is a real about last night, because I know after that Knick game, there's probably not too many of you that were watching this Mets game last night. But the Mets, you know, like the Yankees, took an L. Only they lost 5-2. Home run by Pete Alonso in this one, but they never really had a chance. They came out, they were down 3-0 early on. Jose Quintana looked completely lost out there starting. I wouldn't be too concerned about that. He's a vet, so I would expect him to get back on track next start. But he gave up 5 runs, and he was basically the difference in this game. As the Mets bullpen continued to cook, they came in 3 scoreless innings, I should say. Bing, bang, boom. How you doing? Keep it moving. And that's something that you do like to see. And you like to see that the offense had a little bit of resiliency and tried to get back into that game. You know, they put up a couple of runs after the fact. Obviously, not enough, but you don't want to see your offense go completely dead, as the Yankees is right now, because then we have the issues that we have when we look at the Yankees. But this Mets team is following up a 6-game winning streak right now with a 2-game losing streak. And that's something that I said they cannot allow to happen. The Mets can't let these losing streaks pile up. When you come off a 6-game winning streak, you need to at least stop that bleeding after 2. So tonight, this is a massive game for the Mets. You have to win this game. If you don't, well, you're going to have some serious problems. And I'm going to have some serious problems believing that this team is going to be able to get themselves off the schneid and be a consistent team all season long. The last thing any of us want to see is the New York Mets go out and win 10 and then lose 11. And then win 8 and then lose 6. And then win 9 and then lose 5. That's not a sign of a good team. You would much rather see a stretch of 20 games where they go 15-5 than to see them do what they're doing, you know, what it looks like they're starting to do right now. And that's become just a streaky, streaky team. And it is early, and we are overreacting a little bit, but we're almost a month in, or we are about a month in since the season starts at the end of March. Yeah, we're about a month in. So, I don't even think this is an overreaction. These are kind of who these teams are. And if the Mets are going to be a streaky team, then I can't take them seriously. And that's an unfortunate thing, because I like this team and I like what they've been putting together. But if they're going to be playing like this, and they don't pull this off tonight, and this ends up being a losing streak, and it ends up showing us this team isn't built for consistency, well, then we're going to know. Then we're going to know what type of Mets team we are looking at this year, and the roller coaster ride that we are about to embark on. And speaking of roller coaster rides, I am sorry to Islander fans, because that, what happened last night, I mean, that should never happen to anybody. You should never have to watch your team lose in that type of fashion. I mean, Isles going into the third with a 3-1 lead, hold that on. Canes get a 3-2 goal there with about, you know, halfway through the third. And then the final 2.5, 3 minutes, Carolina just unloaded. And, I mean, they end up winning this one 5-3 over the Isles and taking a 2-0 series lead. And this is bad news for an Islanders team that I thought was going to have. I mean, I thought they were going to win this game. Genuinely thought they were going to win this game. And I thought this was going to be a launching point for them to take this series. It went the other way completely. I mean, to lose this 5-3 after dominating the game in the way that they did, and I get it, Carolina had a lot of shots, Carolina had a great end of that second period that pushed them into that third, but the Isles had the lead. The Isles were up 3-2 with less than 3 minutes left, and they lost 5-3. That's not only disheartening, that's not only a bad loss, that's as bad as it gets. I mean, if the Isles were able to win a game in this series now, I would be shocked. I would be impressed too, because coming off the mat after that game, it's damn near impossible. And I mean, Patrick Waugh has done a great job with his team, and he talks about their resiliency, and he talks about their ability to bounce back after tough games. This would be the ultimate bounce back if he was able to get these Islanders back into the win column, because that felt, watching the end of that game over and watching those goals go in and watching Carolina start to get that confidence, it looked like the worst case scenario for the Islanders. And like I said, I'm sorry to anybody out there who's an Isles fan who had to deal with that last night, because it ain't going to get... I don't think it's going to get much better. That felt like a rip-your-heart-out and stomp-on-it kind of moment for the team. And again, Patrick Wise complimented their resiliency. And that's going to need to be on full effect as they come back home later on in the week for Game 3. And UBS will be rocking, because Islander fans are great and they will show up and they will support this team all the way until the end. But I don't think the home crowd is going to be able to do anything for this team. I think what you're seeing is what you are going to get. And it's unfortunate that this is the way that it's going to go for the Isles, but they still have a chance. It's only 2-0. They haven't lost a game at home yet, so the cliche is still in effect. You know, the series hasn't started because a home team has not lost, but I just gotta believe that this was a knockout blow for the Isles, and it would be absolutely stunning to see them come out and get a win and keep this series alive, but my expectations are through the floor there. I think this is going to be Carolina sweep at this point, which pains me to say because I was very, very high on the Isles in six, but it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen, and I'll be the first one to say that I was wrong. Hopefully the Isles proved me wrong, but I'm going to say it right now because that game, to me, that was the death nail in the season. And I'm sorry to do this to you Islander fans, but tonight the Rangers step back on that Garden ice and they look to get that 2-0 lead over the Washington Capitals. And let me tell you something, the Rangers need to sweep this series. There's no excuses. There is nothing to be said. There's no, oh, well, you know, Ovechkin, oh, well, Oshie, oh, Van Riemsdyk, all these guys. No. No. The Washington Capitals are the easiest matchup in the playoffs for an Eastern Conference team. You have to sweep them. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you want to win a Stanley Cup, and I said this yesterday, you have to sweep this series. Started out great in game one, asserted your dominance. Washington tried to come out at the end to get a little scrappy, so I expect you to see Washington come out tonight and try to get a little bit of that same scrappiness, maybe try to bait some guys into a fight. Definitely watch Rempe if he is out there again tonight. I would fully expect him to take some big shots, to have a bunch of guys coming up to him, trying to start a little something, take him off of his game, and hopefully take this Ranger team off of their game, because that's the only prayer that the Capitals have of winning this series. I mean, series, damn. I don't even need to be talking about series. That's the only prayer that the Capitals have of winning a game in this series, is by knocking this Ranger team off of their focus. I don't think that's going to happen. I think this Ranger team is on a mission. You saw that the other night. It was business. They handled it. And I would expect to see an even more dominant performance out of this Ranger team tonight. Because I think Washington's going to try things. I think Washington is going to go for a couple of things. They're obviously going to try to go for some big hits and to knock people, like I said, off of their game. And when they do so, you're going to have to take advantage of those moments. You're going to have to take advantage of guys being overly aggressive. How do you do that? Well, you have guys like Zibanejad. You have guys like Panarin. You have guys like Kreider. You have guys like Vincent Trocheck, Adam Fox. These are guys who, if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. And I love each and every one of them. And I think that this is going to be a series for the stat padding for those guys once it's all said and done. And tonight feels like a Chris Kreider goal kind of night. A multi-goal night for Chris Kreider. I think Chris Kreider comes out of here in this one with a two-goal evening, Zibanejad, two assists and a goal, and I think the Rangers roll to a 5-2 victory over the Capitals and head up 2-0 as they go down I-95 down to D.C., to try to finish this series out with games 3 and 4 on the road. But you got to win tonight in order to do it. I think they will, but we're going to have to wait and see. That puck drop is at 7 p.m. So make sure you are parked right in front of your TV at 7 p.m. tonight. Ingest this Ranger game. Hopefully you all can allow this positivity from this Knicks win last night to carry on over today, to wash off all that disgusting Yankees vibes, these disgusting Mets losing streak vibes, the atrocious Islander loss vibes, so you can go and have a beautiful day. Now try to have yourself that beautiful day. Be your own source of happiness. If you can't find something from the outside, be your own source of it. If the Knicks can't be that for you, if your sports team can't be that for you, find the happiness in your life and spread that joy. It's a beautiful day, people. It's April 23rd, 2024. This is the only chance you're ever going to have to live April 23rd, 2024. So live it up to the max. Make sure you hit that subscribe. Make sure you hit that follow on the Zoo Yorker. If you don't mind, leave that 5-star review. And holla at your boy on the Twitter machine at ZooBeard77, ZOOBEARD77 on that ex Elon Musk machine. Ugh. And that's the episode for today. So I must now bid you all adieu. And until tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, peace!